When I was 23 years old, I had this eye-opening experience. I was sitting on a flat cement rooftop with a group of women in Morocco. Some of these women were Moroccan, some were from other countries, and it was one of these rare moments of organized intimacy. The sky was dark and starry in the early evening, but the temperature was pleasant and we could see and hear the town below us. We were talking about how we experienced our workplaces as women. In Morocco, men and women were treated very differently, but when they asked me about my experience, I must have returned a blank stare. I knew well what it felt like to be treated differently for being a woman, but somehow I had the impression of being an equal in my workplace. Then I started to doubt. I had only thought about my experience as a female researcher in agriculture in terms of my rights and privileges as an individual. I could study. I had a grant to do research. I had published, just like the men around me. But after this moment on the rooftop in Morocco, I began to ask myself questions about the way that I was treated, about the invisibility and not the absence of women in agriculture, and about the way of doing things that I blindly accepted as normal. Little by little, over the years, I began to find answers to my questions in feminist thinking. But what does feminism have to do with agriculture, and more specifically, with agroecology? This is the first episode of a mini podcast series called A Journey Through Feminist Agroecology. My name is Jessica Milgrom from the Agroecology Now group at the Center for Agroecology, Water and Resilience of the University of Coventry in the UK. This podcast series is a collaboration with CITSA, the International Network of Catholic Social Justice Organizations. In this episode, we will explore what feminism has to do with the food that you eat. My colleague Chilla Kiss and I interviewed two powerful guests, Diana Lilia Trevilla Espinal from Mexico, a researcher who focuses her work on feminist agroecology, and Isa Alvarez from Spain, who works in the food sovereignty and agroecology movement from a feminist perspective locally and globally.
Greetings to all. My name is Diana Lilia Trevilla Espinal. I am a Mexican woman of indigenous descent. I am a feminist, an activist, a human rights defender, a researcher, and an agroecologist. My grandparents are from Oaxaca and Toluca. My parents were born in Mexico City, and I grew up there. Today, I am in the southeast, specifically in the Yucatan, in Mérida. And in the background, there is the sound of birds called garnets, which are black, a little bit shiny, and many people think they are crows. But no, they are called zanates.
Diana recently finished her PhD on feminism and agroecology. We were curious to know how feminism became part of her life.
Well, for me, feminism comes from my maternal grandmother, a mestiza indigenous woman who refused to marry an older man in her village and who, as a strategy within her reach, migrated to Mexico City, where she found a job as a domestic worker and experienced different kinds of racist class-based violence throughout her life. Feminism also comes to me from my mother, who has always sought to find space and time for her professional training, to rest and to achieve economic autonomy for herself. I consider that it is thanks to both of them that I have been able to choose my professional path, but also, and above all, my political path. And in my personal life, one of the turning points for embracing feminism has been the violence that I have experienced directly, both from my romantic partners and through institutions. And of course, these are a reflection of systemic violence.
Sharing experiences among friends helped them to understand that what each of them were living wasn't unique. And this led them to feminism.
Sometimes it didn't only have to do with my own experiences, but also through my friends sharing their experiences. We tried to say that this is not our responsibility as women, that it is the responsibility of those who exercise the violence. But that it also goes beyond that. It is a whole system that legitimizes violence against our bodies and against our minds and against our spirit. And then to analyze all this on a scale of, well, if this happens to me and it happens to others, then it is something systematic.
Since there are so many ways of understanding feminisms and so many feminisms, we wanted to know more about what feminism means to her.
Feminism is a vital force that's born from within us, in the face of the injustices that we experience. But it's also born from rebellion and from the joy that we experience when we share with others in order to be women and dissidents who live fuller lives. This takes into consideration that feminism is something that's for everyone. In other words, the intention is that we all feel summoned, right? On the other hand, it's also important to say that feminism is not a univocal issue. It doesn't have a single definition. It is a plural, diverse movement, which is experienced individually, but also collectively. And the fact that it's plural and diverse doesn't mean that there are no contradictions. But something that, without a doubt, I think draws us to the different feminist currents is the potency, the denunciation, the need to transform and rebuild. And this denunciation is also very much fueled by the inequalities and violence that are experienced for reasons of gender, race, class, age, and migratory status.
Injustice, violence, oppression, and inequality has been the experience of many women around the world. And on top of this, women have historically carried the weight of a lot of invisible, unpaid work that keeps the household and the economy going. Feminist economics has helped us to understand this phenomena better.
Bueno, como les decía, una cuestión muy importante es que
well, as I was saying, a very important issue is that when you don't have a feminist perspective of the economy, you only see the productive and remunerated aspects and those who produce capital gains, usually associated with men, who are the ones with access to jobs, or, as I was saying, access to credits in the case of people working the land. However, feminism says that the economy couldn't function if it weren't for all of the invisible work of caring for the reproduction of life. In other words, the economic system also requires someone to cook, someone to raise children, someone to transmit social codes, that is, cultural values. In other words, someone to clean, someone to take care of the sick, aspects which we have been questioning and analyzing more lately, even though it's an old debate, really. Now, with the pandemic, it has become more obvious that this care work is basic, it's fundamental. It cannot stop at any time, and that it's even intensifying. And it is women who are doing this work.
No se puede parar en ningún momento y que incluso se intensifica. Si entonces quienes lo están realizando son las mujeres.
But this is not something that only women experience. The power relationships that place people who identify as women as inferior to men form part of the same system that oppresses Black and brown people, Indigenous people, non-heterosexual people, and delegitimizes other ways of doing things.
So, when we talk about justice, we necessarily have to name injustices and power relations and talk about a feminist agroecology that questions these power relations. Well, I think it's important to talk about these differences and inequalities in terms of race, not just gender.
We will come back to this very important topic of intersectional feminism and decolonial feminisms in food and agriculture in the next episode. For now, Diana mentioned feminist agroecology, but first we want to make sure that our listeners know what agroecology means to us. Agroecology is not just a more ecological way of producing food. It takes into consideration the whole system and is a way of producing, distributing, and eating food that strives for an ecological balance as well as social justice. It is considered a science, a social movement, and also a practice. But what is feminist agroecology? We wanted to know how Diana began to connect feminism with agroecology. Starting with her inquiries into feminism, Deanna unraveled the strings of her personal story and was led back to the land through her grandmother.
So, from what my grandmother told us, how she had to leave her place of origin, not only because they were going to marry her off to someone, but also because they no longer gave her the land. The land was left to her brothers, or to her uncles, or to her neighbors, or even to the government. So my grandmother said, either I stay and they hunt me, or I leave. So whenever she told me about her town, I always asked myself how it would be to really feel like I had roots, right? I mean, like, how it would feel to go back to my roots. Going back to my roots also meant having land to live on and land to cultivate.
Feminist agroecology does not just strive for gender equality in agroecology. It also embodies different values, like caring for ourselves, our community, and our ecosystems, and valuing the reproduction of life over and above profits. But what does it mean to value the reproduction of life, or to put life in the center of our food system?
So that would be another dimension, right? A feminist agroecology that puts life at the center. And this, well, a lot has been taken up from other feminists, especially feminist economists, who talk about what kind of system we want to maintain. A system that's still centered on capital, or a system that cares for and prioritizes life. Because when prioritizing life, all the work that goes into preparing food, raising children, and taking care of the sick should be accounted for. And so does taking care of the land and living beings, because there's also a dominant current of agroecology that only focuses on producing food without fostering reproductive work. Because everything that the food system requires is not only for human beings, it also means reproducing the life of ecosystems and reproducing everything those ecosystems include with their many forms of life.
So, for farmers, putting life in the center might mean choosing to save seed, to take care of soil fertility, to treat workers with respect and pay them a dignified salary, even if these practices entail a loss of so-called productivity or profit. It might also mean establishing and nurturing relationships with the people who eat their food, or those that provide them with their tools, or taking time for self-care. Feminist agroecology reflects deeply on the way of doing things, collectivizing care, work, and even co-construction of ideas are fundamental feminist strategies. Collectivizing fun is also key to recharging batteries to be able to continue to construct new ways of working, eating, and relating.
El hecho de que denunciemos, transformemos, estemos en contra de un sistema.
The fact that we denounce, transform, we are against a patriarchal, racist, classist, and unjust system everywhere, doesn't mean that we don't also claim pleasure and rest and care and joy for our bodies in order to continue strengthening these processes to which we are committed, whether it's agroecology or protecting our territory, whatever our cause may be.
This all requires a change in the way that we think about much more than just our food. The mainstream food system considers food as a commodity rather than as a right and a daily necessity. As consumers, urban or rural, how can we eat in a way that does not continually contribute to the oppressive and destructive food system? Deanna has opened our eyes to the way that it really starts long before the trip to the supermarket. It's about being deeply aware of the oppression, exploitation, and unequal power relations that the food system is built on. It's about erasing the division between the productive and reproductive work and taking the time to build relationships with the people in your food system. It's about understanding that everyone has a collective responsibility to sustain food for everyone else. From the perspective of feminist agroecology, healthy food is not just for those who can pay for it. We will hear more from Deanna later in this episode, but for now we will turn to our conversation with Isa Alvarez. Isa works for the organization Urgency, a grassroots network for community-supported agriculture. She is a powerful advocate for feminisms and agroecology around the world.
I'm Isa Alvarez. I'm an educator, an agroecologist. I was trained in education, and right now I mainly do training and research on the themes of food systems and agroecology. I also do political advocacy, primarily at the global level with the Urgency Network. And over, I would say, the last 4 to 5 years, I've been incorporating the feminist perspective as much as I can in this work, both in practice and in theory.
I asked Isa to tell us about how feminism came into her life. She told us about how 15 years ago she was working at an NGO that promoted food sovereignty in the north of Spain, and it was there that she participated in a training on feminism. In 2008, one day, while discussing with three of her female colleagues, they reflected on how there were no sustainable options for eating out or having a drink in their city.
We did awareness-raising work on food sovereignty, trying to change consumption habits, and we were in the process of understanding feminist ideas more deeply. And suddenly, one day it occurs to someone to say, well, it would be really good if this, apart from being just theoretical, can be applied in practice. And we were already supporting some consumer groups in Vitoria, and we were living in Vitoria. And someone said, what about leisure? I mean, when we go out to party or to go out to dinner, what happens there? In other words, we have to see if we're spending the whole day talking about consumption habits and how they have to change, but then we go out and we drink Coca-Cola and we eat what's available, because in reality, there were no options. So we said, well, okay, there are no options, so let's create them. So we decided to set up a restaurant, just like that. It was crazy.
They wanted to put food sovereignty and feminist ideas into practice. It was important to them that the business was female-led and collectively run, and that all the products were local, organic, or fair trade at a time when there were no structures in place for this in Spain. They had a bar and a restaurant, and it was hard work. They were working together to provide a sustainable, just option for eating and drinking, one that built community and became the social and ecological hub of the city, and even a point of reference for the whole country. But they got carried away with the so-called productive work and forgot about the importance of the reproductive work.
We realized that we were interacting and talked to each other about the operational things, but we didn't ask each other, hey, how are you? How are you doing? What do you need? And when we got to 6 months, we said, okay, no way. We have to block off days when we can share how we're doing and how we're feeling and relax a little bit, because otherwise we're going to explode. Because it was really intense then. And then we did, on Sundays, we just closed the bar and we said, okay, one Sunday a month, we'll stay and we'll talk about how we're doing.
So they did this. They created a space for expression of emotions and for taking care of each other, rather than only focusing on the economic, logistic, and political parts of the project.
And it was a great learning experience for me. And I realized that's feminism too, putting emotions and relationships and care, placing that all at the center.
Isa described to us how feminism is a lens through which she sees the world, her private life, her work, and everything she does. We asked her about when she started to connect feminism with agroecology, and she told us about how she had an aha moment when she went to a lecture that described the food system as androcentric and anthropocentric.
Our food systems are totally based on the supposed needs of human beings, this anthropocentric vision, but not all human beings. Men are at the top. And that's where androcentrism comes in. And it's a food system that only understands or is based on an absolutely Western cultural point of view, no? It defines what type of consumption and what type of production is good, always seeking homogenization instead of diversity. So instead of talking about rights, we talk about supposed needs that in reality are luxuries for many people, because that's not the reality for most people. And those supposed needs are dictated by only one part of society, which is male and white and Western above all.
Isa says the food system is like an iceberg in which the visible part of the system is above water, but the vast majority is invisible, beneath the water. What we see above water is just the tippy top, the supermarkets, food distribution, but it's actually made possible by what is under the water.
And once again, women and our labor are invisible or informal. And what we do with agroecology and food sovereignty is it operates on a small scale, close to nature, connected with community. And that's where feminism is also located.
So people who do not identify as men, this could be women, transgender people, non-binary people, or LGBTQ people who do work in the food system or have care responsibilities having to do with food are at the bottom of the food system iceberg. Small-scale agroecology and food sovereignty, not to mention indigenous ways of relating to land and food, are also at the bottom of the food system iceberg.
So if we want to break the iceberg of the food system, we have to change the entire system, not just bits and pieces. You cannot choose and say, no, no, I just want to change one aspect, which is what some people are doing in some cases by saying, yes, I'll change my farm, but I want to continue farming in the same way that the reproductive labor is done by other people, is made invisible. The whole farm continues to fall back into the usual ways of working while pretending to take an agroecological approach. So it depends on the extent to which you integrate social justice into this model. If there are inequalities, you're not achieving agroecology. And feminism is fundamental in starting to see a whole lot of these things, to identify them and then transform them.
But the thing is, you can't just change part of it. The whole thing needs to be busted open. But although Isa talks about inequalities, she refers to feminism rather than gender. I asked her what gender equality has to do with feminism.
The whole system has its way of whitewashing. Feminism is a transformative political perspective, while gender can be merely a technical tool. And that does not transform anything. The incorporation of a gender perspective without a feminist approach can be done, and it translates into adding women into the equation on paper, while at the same time making us invisible. And it can be done, and it is done. Feminism is what catalyzes political transformation for equality. Feminism means that we do not want equality within an oppressive system. We want equality for all within a just system. This is the difference. Because you can incorporate a gender perspective in capitalism and have more women in charge. But we don't want some people to have power over others. What we want is to deconstruct all that hierarchy.
So what would a feminist food system look like? Diana and Isa both, coming from different contexts, had similar visions.
Well, it would be a food system in which the power to decide is not a function of the great macroeconomic policies or of the companies and corporations, but rather those who decide what to plant and how to plant are the peoples and the organizations and the movements in dialogue. Let's say that in the center of this is, I would draw it as a mandala. So in the center, I would put the values that the food system would have, which is the care of life, but not only of human life, but of life in its breadth, that is, of ecosystems, of living beings, of cycles, of the rhythms of the earth itself.
Cultivating diversity in all aspects of the food system is definitely key.
Something that's highly respected within feminisms and within a more critical agroecology is that decisions are driven by each territory. So one is to respect the rhythms and processes of the territories. And that is a start. None of the process can be homogenized, even if we all have the vision on the horizon of a fairer, more dignified and more sustainable food system in socio-environmental terms.
Isa shared about how a feminist food system would abolish the idea of purchasing food altogether and transform the consumer-producer relationship into collectivizing responsibility for food.
It depends on what level of transition we're in. At the ideal level, we would not go shopping. We would have other paradigms. Like in community-supported agriculture groups, we don't consider that we're buying. We're jointly responsible for our food. For example, we're creating collective spaces in which this relationship between client and producer is broken, where we understand that we have a common goal, nourishing ourselves and our community, and that we have joint responsibility for this as a group. If we want to make it feminist, we have to see who is present and who is not. If there are women, if there are only white people, who are the people who have to be involved to then decide, okay, how do we manage this food? Producers who produce food for us need goods to live, which we have to pay for with money, at least for now, so that they can survive. But we start from their needs.
X dinero para que puedan sobrevivir, pero empezamos desde sus necesidades.
The idea is to start by understanding the basic needs of the producers, rather than looking to the market to place a value on the food being produced.
Tú al año, ¿qué necesitas?
So we ask, how much do you need per year? This much? Okay, that's what we have to get from this group. The premise is different. We aren't starting from how much is this worth in the market? No. The multiple crises we've gone through have made us look for not only mechanisms to support production, but we've seen how the members of the group themselves support each other. For example, if a member says, I have to leave the group because I don't have economic stability and I don't know if I'm going to be able to contribute my share, the group says, no, don't leave the group. Your food is also something that we have to support. And mechanisms have been sought so that food is not a luxury, but a right. This breaks down a lot of inequalities.
But at the heart of it, what differentiates a feminist food system is who is doing the deciding and based on what values.
Yo creo que sobre todo es un sistema en el que se puede decidir.
It's a system, above all, where you can decide with everything that this entails. But for there to be a feminist food system, the system has to change. Now in the center is the capitalist market, and that center must be changed. In the center there must be life and people and the planet. Change those privileges for the real needs. When that center changes, everything will move.
So what does feminism have to do with food? Food cultivation, processing, conserving, cooking, and eating are primary activities for human life. These have been dominated by power relationships of oppression, exploitation, and violence against women around the world. It is time to break open the iceberg, turn it upside down, and do things in a different way. Feminist agroecology reivindicates a food system in which it is a collective responsibility to make sure healthy food is for everyone. One in which care and reproduction of life, including non-human life, is in the center. There's so much here to unpack. What about the other layers of discrimination that both of our guests mentioned? That of the intersection of feminism with racism and colonial ways of thinking, for example. Our next episode will try to do just this, take a deeper dive into decolonial indigenous feminisms and food. All this made me reflect back to my experience in Morocco. I think one of the hardest things to reckon with about feminism and food is the way that it is both deeply personal and at the same time entrenched in social, political, and economic structures that seem fixed in stone. But the magical part is that once you have that aha moment and see the way the macro and the micro are part of the same story, you can never look back and avenues for change open up all around you. This mini podcast series, A Journey Through Feminist Agroecology, is a collaboration between the Agroecology Now group at the Center for Agroecology, Water and Resilience at the University of Coventry, and CITSA, the International Network of Catholic Social Justice Organizations. You can find more information, including references where you can dive deeper into these topics on our websites, agroecologynow.com and CITSA.org. You can find our next episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.